that looked at 800 people over their entire lives to see what made them live happier and healthier and longer. And that's what we all want, right? We want to be happy and healthy, and we want to live a long life. So the study found that there are 6 special factors to ensure your happiness. Here they are. Number 1, avoiding smoking and drinking only in moderation. Number 2, pursuit of education. 3, a happy childhood. 4, meaningful relationships. And these can actually compensate if you did not have a happy childhood. So if you didn't get number 3, as long as you still have number 4, you're in good shape. 5, coping skills. And 6, generativity. And by that, they meant living a well-rounded life where you give back to others in your community. And so with these 6 factors, you can be guaranteed to have a blessed life. Except Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that's where true blessedness is found. He says something way different. And I doubt you would find his 6 factors in a study of what makes a person happy. Today we're starting a new sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, a sermon Jesus preached in which he said all kinds of radical, countercultural things. Because the world says, blessed are those who pursue education. But Jesus says, blessed are those who pursue righteousness. The world says, blessed are those with a happy childhood. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The world says, blessed are those with good coping skills. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. For many of us in our culture, it feels like we have this pressure to be happy and put together. And this especially seems to happen when we are dealing with grief. We feel like we have to rush through it for everyone else's sake. You know, we shouldn't talk about our loved one too long after they've died. We should jump back into lunches with friends and volunteering at our usual ministries. We should take care of our kids and keep styling our hair, anything so that we can get back to that good old sunny disposition, right? The notion that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you keep going. But what I love about the Christian faith is that it is so countercultural. It offers that alternative to what the world preaches. And not only are we reassured that we are blessed when we mourn, but we in the Christian faith actually have whole days and seasons set apart just for mourning, just for lamentation. We have something called All Saints Day, which we're honoring this morning, where we think about death and we talk about death. Even as the rest of our culture would try to convince us that we're not going to die. We'll live forever if we can just get these 6 factors in place. Or if we just see the right doctors or save the right amount of money. But on All Saints Day, we stand up and we say the names of people who have died within the past year. These are the communion of saints. Of course, that's that churchy phrase for people like you and me, people who are living out our faith here on this earth right now. We're the saints, but it also includes all the people who have lived and died before us. The person who first showed God's love to you, they're part of the communion of saints. The characters in the Bible, the monks and nuns and martyrs over the centuries, the Christians currently living in Iraq or China, we're all part of the communion of saints. And so when we talk about this, we're talking about one giant family that God has joined across space and time. And I think that's why whenever we baptize a child here, Pastor David will hold up the child and he'll say to the child, "All right, your family just got a whole lot bigger and a whole lot stranger." And it's true. But what a gift to know we're not alone. When I think about the communion of saints, I think about a couple I met earlier this year after my miscarriage. The man is a pastor like me, and the woman is a business owner. And I got connected with them because they had experienced their own loss. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for them. At 39 weeks pregnant, the woman had stopped feeling the baby move. And when she and her husband went to the doctor, they discovered there was no longer a heartbeat. The baby had lived and died without ever leaving her womb. She delivered her son, named Asher, and they took him home, where they got to hold him and take pictures of him and later have a memorial service for him at their church. And as the husband told me this, he pulled up his sleeve and showed me where he had had his son's handprint tattooed on his forearm. It's always a reminder of their baby boy. It forever preserves his memory there on his dad's skin. And when I think about the communion of saints, I think about that clergy colleague and his wife and how they might get to be reunited with their son someday. That is a mystery to me, but it's a hope I cling to. That someday they will get to meet that boy they love so much, this baby who lived in the womb for 9 months and gave his mom the same rolls and kicks and even hiccups that I get to have now in this pregnancy. This baby gave them so much joy in the time they were given with him. What a blessing for that time. The communion of saints is made up of all the people God has used to bless us and shape us, whether we've known them for half a year or half a century. But we get to be reunited with every single one. And what a wonderful place of reunion that will be. Because in that place, death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who is seated on the throne says, "See, I am making all things new." This is a mystery, but it's a hope we cling to. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm grateful for these words of Jesus because they meet us right where we are, right in that dark valley side of life. And we don't have to feel pressure to be any other way. Like, we can know that we're heading for that wonderful place of reunion, and we can know it's okay not to be quite there yet. But you know, some Bibles will actually translate these sentences with the word happy. Like, happy are the poor in spirit. But to me, happy makes it sound like we're supposed to be chipper. You know, happy is desperate and fake. Instead, I've heard a more accurate translation would be to say, not you're blessed when or you're happy when, but you're on the right road when. You're on the right road when you are meek. You're on the right road when you are merciful. You're on the right path when you mourn. Because these are the roads that lead to Jesus. Hebrews promises us that in Jesus we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize. Remember, Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. He didn't just tear up, he wept. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases and felt our pain and cried our tears with us, because he is not the great high priest unable to sympathize. He's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Psalm 56 cries out to God and says, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record?" Blessed are we when we mourn, for we are not forgotten. We are not abandoned. We have beside us one who will never leave us, one who bottles up our tears, one who loved us enough to take our wounds and scars upon himself, indeed to tattoo his love for us on his body, setting us as a seal upon his heart, a seal upon his arm, with love that is as strong as death and passion as fierce as the grave. This is our God. This is the God who comes to be with us, right beside us, and whisper in our ear, "Blessed are you who mourn." This is the God that allows us that space, but doesn't leave it at that, because in the very next breath, he says, "For you will be comforted." There is a second half to each sentence, and the second half says, "You will be filled. You will receive mercy. You will see God." I don't know if these things will happen for you in this lifetime or not until you join that communion of saints on the other side. But either way, we can take our time. We're on the right road. We're heading to Jesus. And that is where we are truly blessed. In the name of the risen one, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for not leaving us in our time of need, but coming to be with us in our very flesh, on this very ground, showing that you are not of heavenly remove, but you are of the here and the now and the everyday. Thank you that in our lowest moments you did not leave us, but you held our hand as we shed our tears. Lord, in this moment, I pray for all grieving people, those who yearn for the presence of someone who is already in that communion of saints on the other side. Thank you that we are blessed when we mourn. Thank you that we don't have to be any other way. But still, I ask you to comfort us in those broken places, because only you can understand how we truly feel. Above all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the one who bore our griefs for our sake, the one who died our death for our sake, the one who lives and moves among us now here in this room, the one who invites us to live within him. God, let us go forth in his spirit, whether we are weak or strong, trusting that you will carry us. Amen.